Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's Friday, September 9th, and you're tuned into the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast. I'm Joe Noga, joined by Paul Hoynes. Hoynesy, big news in Major League Baseball on this Friday. The competition committee has voted to make sweeping changes implemented by Commissioner Rob Manfred for next season. We're going to see all sorts of changes on the field that will directly impact the way the game is played. Banning defensive shifts, implementing a pitch clock, and making the bases bigger by, 4.5 inches all the way around? They're going to go to, 18-inch bases or something?
Yeah, from 15 inches square to 18 inches square, Joe.
18 inches square. I'm not a math guy, so I don't even know what the full-size area of that is, but I'm sure it can be computed. Let's start with how each one of these rule changes is going. And we've talked about these rule changes in the past. We've said they were coming. We've sort of given like a preview on each one of these before. You know, I've written in-depth stories about why, you know, infield shifts have impacted specific Guardians or Cleveland hitters in the past. So let's take a look at how each one impacts guys who are on the Guardians roster right now. Let's start with an easy one. Let's start with the bigger bases. Like you said, they're going to 18 inches square. If you've been to a minor league game in the last two seasons, you've noticed it's one of the first things that sort of jumps out at you is the bigger size bases. It's a twofold reason why they went to it for you know, increased player safety. You know, when there's a play at the base, and you know, the first baseman has a right to the bag as well as the runner. You're going to have fewer guys getting spiked and incidents in that sort of nature. But it also increases the number of successful stolen base attempts, and that's directly going to impact guys like Andrés Giménez, Jose Ramirez, Miles Straw, all the guys on the Guardian staff, even Amed Rosario, who run on a regular basis and steal bases. It's going to get them, you know, 4 inches closer to being safe every time.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Instead of, I guess, 90 feet between the bases, it's going to be 89 or whatever it is. The bases are going to be 4.5 inches closer from first to second base and second to third base. So, you know, that's really interesting. And I guess, you know, if you're a base stealer, you need every inch you can get. And it's really, affected the way in the minor leagues where they've had this experiment going. It's really, increased the number of stolen bases, they've seen, especially this year.
Do you think that Guardians base stealers and base runners will be more likely to run now with the new base size, the new dimensions out there? Will it impact the way that they view whether or not they go and steal off of a pitcher?
Definitely, Joe. Pitchers are going to be limited to either two pickoff attempts or two step offs per plate appearance. So, you know, that alone is going to, you know, help a base stealer. And, you know, the closer the bags are, the bigger the bags are, it would really help these guys, help them be more aggressive.
You know, gone are the days of Ricky Henderson and Vince Coleman. You know, if they walked or if they, you know, got a base hit and were on first base, it's as good as having them on second or third base. You know, within a few pitches, those guys were running, and you knew they were running, and everybody in the ballpark knew they were running. With the three true outcomes evolution and the, you know, it's a strikeout or a home run or a walk, it's gone away. The teams don't, you know, they don't want to risk running the bases the way that they used to in the past, because guys don't put the ball in play as much. There aren't as many base hits, and you're playing for the three-run home run more than anything else. Is this a way to get that changed around and shifted back to seeing more traffic on the bases, seeing more running opportunities, and more hit and runs, and more, you know, just more action, I guess, is the best way to put it.
Yeah, definitely. You know, stolen base attempts have risen in the minor leagues this year to, 2.83 attempts per game with a 77% success rate, as opposed to a couple of years ago when it was about 2.19, you know, stolen base attempts per game with a 68%, you know, success rate. So, you know, it increases the base runner's chance to be successful.
I love when Hoynsey brings the numbers and brings the statistics to back up everything that I just said. It's perfect. You're just reinforcing, you know, why this is happening. What do you think about this change? What do you think about the base rule change? Is it one that's good? What's your initial and gut reaction to it?
Well, yeah, I think people like to see the stolen base. You know, they like that, creates more action. I think, I don't know, I wonder about limiting a pickoff move, you know, limiting a number of pickoff moves a pitcher is required in a plate appearance, you know, or a step off. You know, sometimes a pitcher just needs to step off and kind of gather himself. But, you know, every time, you know, I think we've got a good opinion of the fans' opinion of pickoff moves, because every time, you know, either a Cleveland player or the player on a team they're playing throws over to first base, the fans boo, no matter if you're at home or you're on the road. So I guess, you know, they can do without that, but I still think it's an important element to any pitcher's game. And, you know, they're messing with that.
Yeah. The bases have been the same size for, you know, if not 100 years, then, you know, damn close to it. I wonder why now is the time to change it. You know, maybe the time to change it was 10 years ago, you know, 20 years ago. But they were really never, there really never was this push for more action on the base paths. So we'll see how it pans out. We'll see how it plays out. We'll see if the stolen base numbers jump dramatically in the majors in the next year or so. And that'll be interesting.
Yeah, Joe, I think the one thing I like is a bigger bag at first base, because, you know, that's where you see a lot of collisions. So that gives more room for the first baseman just to kind of stay out of the way while still, you know, keeping his foot in the bag. So that's a good thing, I think.
Yeah, it's akin to the orange bases when you see in the beer league softball leagues, the safety base at first, where the first baseman, you know, steps on the white bag and the runner has to step on the orange bag, which is in foul territory, so that they don't collide. I've played enough really bad beer league softball to know that you can really hurt yourself on plays at the at first base like that. So good to see that part at least being closer to being taken away at the major league level. All right, let's talk about the pitch clock. There is one name that will jump out as far as the Guardians are concerned, how it will impact James Karinchak when he comes into the game. As we've seen, you know, on this hot streak that he's been on, 24 consecutive scoreless innings in 22 appearances, and he's 24 and what, two-thirds scoreless. He has been an absolute, he's the pitching version of Mike Hargrove. He's the human rain delay on the mound. He works at his own pace, and there's no hurry in him, and he's been highly effective at doing it, at least since, you know, early July this year. How is this going to impact James Karinchak specifically next year when this pitch clock gets implemented? It's a 20-second pitch clock, unless there's a runner on base, I believe. It's 15.
Yeah, 15 seconds with no one on base, then 20 seconds with a runner on base.
Got it. Yeah, and that makes sense. And also all of those, you know, the pickoff limits and all that is also part of the rule. So it's for a guy who grinds down and slows down the pace of a game like Karinchak does, it's really going to affect him.
Yeah, definitely. And Francona and the pitching coaches have had conversations with Karinchak about this to speed up. And the good thing is, Joey, like he pitched at AAA this year. He pitched at AAA last year. So, you know, he's used to the pitch clock. You know, I mean, he's pitched with it. He knows, obviously, he knows he's going to have to speed up his delivery. Hopefully he makes the adjustment. But right now he's in a great groove. And, you know, he kind of, if I'm a hitter and I'm watching him flip that ball around on the mound and kind of, you know, go through all his gyrations, talking to himself, I mean, that kind of, you know, that would throw off your timing. That would kind of get you antsy.
Right.
So I think, you know, this he's using this as an element to help him, but he's going to have to adjust.
Yeah, one of the things that Tito likes to point out with Karinchak is that there's some deceptiveness in his delivery and his herky-jerky motion that really makes him effective. And I don't think that'll be affected at all by the pitch clock. The movements that you're talking about, the flipping the ball to himself and the gesticulations, those are all before he steps on the rubber. So I don't know when the clock will start in terms of when he engages with the rubber or not. It'll be interesting to see when it's put into effect and put in place, the first couple of times if he gets a ball called on. And what we've seen out of James Karinchak lately is he is pretty much guaranteed to go to a full count, a 3-2 count on just about every batter he faces, at least the first batter he faces coming out of the bullpen. So one ball could make a huge difference in an at bat if he gets called for a violation of this pitch clock.
Yeah, the pitch clock starts, Joe, I believe, if I'm reading this right, when the pitcher begins his motion to deliver the ball. So if he's on the rubber, there's a guy on base, it's 20 seconds. If he's on the rubber and the bases are empty, it's 15 seconds where he's got to begin that motion. And that's when the clock starts.
Who are the Guardians pitchers least impacted by this rule? I can think of three of them off the top of my head right now.
Boy.
I would say Shane Bieber, Cal Quantrill, and Tristan McKenzie. You know, ironically enough, the three, best starting pitchers that in terms of productivity this year are guys who get the ball, get in rhythm, and deliver it. They don't, go through a lot of science. PitchCom has helped. Reduce the number of, questions on signs or shaking, catchers. And, we've seen Shane Bieber games, at really good pace. I believe it was a 2.5 hour game the other night in Kansas City.
Yeah. When the PitchCom first came in, I remember in spring training, he would work so fast that he kind of got gassed, mm-hmm. a couple times where he had to actually slow down. So, I don't think that's going to affect, those starters that you named.
Right. We did have a chance while we were in Kansas City in the press box. One of the umpires, Adam Hamari, came up and he was sort of talking to Matt and Rick and Andre and myself at the dinner table pregame. And we were talking about some of these rule changes and how they're going to be implemented and take effect. And Adam Hamari recalled a story that when they first started enforcing, or they made it a point of emphasis about batters stepping out of the batter's box. And he went back to that rule and said, it's going to be different than when that was a lot more subjective. You know, with this pitch clock, it's pretty much in black and white. Once the clock hits zero, that's it. You've got to make the call. But he said he recalled Matt Kemp stepping into the box, and he kept stepping out, and Hamari told him, okay, that's your warning, you have to stay in the box. And he said Kemp sort of looked back at him and dismissively and said something to the effect of, hey, you know what the fine is for me stepping out of the box and getting called for it? He goes, it's $25. He said, they'd have to fine me 1,000 times before I even tried to, change anything about my routine in the box. So that's going to be different. It's not going to be that way. It won't be, subjective to the umpires in each situation. It's going to be black and white on a clock right in front of them. Once it hits zero, that's it. You've got to make the call.
Yeah, batter has to be in the box and alert to the pitcher with 8 seconds left. And if he isn't, he gets charged with a strike. And if a pitcher takes too long, he gets charged with a ball.
I cannot wait until the first time Angel Hernandez screws this up. It's gonna be awesome. The John Boy and Pitching Ninja video breakdowns of these incidents are gonna be classics instantly. So that leads us to the final sort of take on this whole new rules movement here, and we've talked about it many times on this podcast. We've written about it in the past. The banning of infield shifts, the infielders will all have to be two on either side of the bag, and their feet are going to have to be in the dirt. No more playing, short right field for Andrés Giménez, which I think is going to be it's going to make a big difference for some of these guys.
Oh my God, Joe, this is a huge change to me. I mean, a guy like Carlos Santana might never retire now. He might have a whole second career. Think of all the hits this guy lost on, line drives between second and first base with the, the second baseman playing in like a shallow right field. I mean, Travis Hafner might come back and try a comeback. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, I know they want to cut down the time of play. But I think this is going to make this is going to provide a lot more action and might lengthen games, even though, with the pitch clock in the minors, they said it reduced the time of game an average of 26 minutes. So, wow. that's a critical number. But this is really going to be fun, I think, to see the change in the shifts.
Dude, if we're going down there for post game at 9:30 every night instead of, 10 o'clock, 10:15. How great is that going to be? Just from a writing perspective, just from a deadline perspective, we're actually going to be able to get quotes in our game stories for print the next day. This is, I'm very selfishly thinking about this, but I want to go back to the first guy, obviously Jose Ramirez, whose, pull side statistics before this year, basically, he was almost always a dead pull hitter and was always played that way. And like you said, he'd be robbed. Just like Carlos Santana, this year we've seen Ramirez sort of make changes, and we've seen him go the other way a couple of times, and sort of make adjustments to the way teams are pitching him. So I don't really think it's going to have a huge, huge impact on Jose. But defensively, I think Andrés Giménez is making a strong case for a Gold Glove at second base. And a lot of it is because of the plays that he's making in short right field.
Yeah, that's a good point. But I think, with his range, Joe, I mean, he's going to be able to make those plays on the edge of the outfield grass, still make those diving plays. But, I mean, I guess it could hurt him, but I think you'll be able to see more of his athletic ability now, and Rosario's athletic ability, and all these – these minor league middle infielders that Cleveland has coming. I think, we'll be able to see these guys play. They'll be like, it's going to be like, back to, the days of Robbie Alomar and Omar Vizquel, mm-hmm. where guys had to really, cover the distance between the bags. They right. weren't, the shifts kind of really limited their ability or their talent. I remember reading a story when Lindor, Francisco Lindor got traded to the Mets, and he was talking about the shifts, and he goes, they take away my ability to be me. So, mm-hmm. I guess maybe be careful what you wish for, but now we're going to see these guys. We're going to see shortstops that can go, you know, range, you know, left to their left and right, and make those plays that, you know, the highlight plays that that the fans like so much.
Well, here's my final point I'm going to bring up about this. How does this directly affect Ahmed Rosario? Because Ahmed Rosario, for all the good things and all the positive things that he does for this team, he has very limited range in terms of today's shortstops. You talk about a guy like Francisco Lindor. We have seen him in the past go far to his left and never let a ball go under his glove. We've seen him go far to his right and make that tough backhanded pick. I can think of three examples in the last week of Ahmed Rosario diving to his glove side and the ball getting under his glove every time. I can think of an error that he committed last week during the homestand where he tried to make a backhanded pick and wasn't able to get the ball. Ahmed Rosario, for as good as and as athletic as he is not an elite defensive shortstop. And with these new shifts coming, or the ban on shifts coming, does that factor into whether or not he could be a part of Cleveland's future?
I think, yeah, definitely, Joe. I think you raise a good point. And, you know, I think, you know, the front office and the coaching staff would have to take that into consideration. I mean, is he enough of an offensive threat where or an offensive, you know, plus where he can outweigh his defensive shortcomings? But if you're going to play shortstop, you got to make the plays first. It's like being a catcher. So, you know, it's going to be that's going to be a really interesting situation to watch unfold, you know, this off season and headed into next season.
On this upcoming homestand, as we're at, what, 8 games in 7 days at the ballpark, I want to take note and I want to watch and see how many base hits, either up the middle or to the third base side of shortstop, get under Ahmed Rosario's gloves, either on dives or, you know, just plays that he couldn't get to in terms of range. There are statistics that measure this. Like ultimate zone factor and all that. It'd be interesting just to get a small sample and see what his range is and what his shortcomings are in that regard. And, you know, now it's a legit question now to ask the front office is, does that make him less of an option moving forward at shortstop if they were ever going to consider maybe giving him a contract?
Yeah, that's a great point. And one more thing, Joe. The new shift rule bans four-man outfields.
Oh, wow. We saw that. Who do we see that against Jose Ramirez?
Yeah, Toronto used it, and I think maybe Tampa Bay used it in the last couple of years.
Yeah, it was Tampa Bay in Tampa Bay, and Toronto, they used it in Cleveland. We definitely saw it, so... very interesting. Wow, no four-man outfields. I think four-man outfield is a legitimate strategy if you've got two on the batter's side and one, if it's a right-handed batter and you've got shortstop third base on that side of the bag and you put, your second baseman declare him an outfielder and have him play at a certain depth. I can't imagine why that's a bad thing, but I guess it's a way to skirt the rule if you're clever enough about it.
Yeah, and you can still use a bring an outfielder in for a five-man infield, mm-hmm. you know, or at, you know, in certain, you know, like in a desperation move to stop the winning run from scoring.
Yeah, bases loaded. Can you play him directly over the bag?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, I might do that more often. That's interesting. Okay. Well, that's going to wrap up the conversation on the new rules. I'm in Minnesota right now getting ready for maybe a baseball game tonight. A little bit of rain throughout the day today. So we certainly don't want to see another doubleheader as an option for these guys. But if they play tonight, it's Cal Quantrill on the mound in Minnesota. Should be a fun night. Cal Quantrill and Dylan Bundy followed by Tristan McKenzie and Chris Archer on Saturday. Hoynesy, we will get through this weekend and have something fun to talk about on Monday, hopefully, with the Guardians still in first place on the other end of this trip.
Yeah, big series, Joe. First place is in the balance.
All right, we'll talk to you then on the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast.